The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
G&D, welcoming you back on The Fan. The show is brought to you by our exclusive sponsor, the law firm, Condori & Murrah. They will help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family as well. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. In about 25 minutes, we're going to look at the road ahead for Washington. Also got to dive in this hour to Jaden Daniels' performance against the Steelers. Probably good enough to win with a little help from his receivers, but certainly not at the level that we have come to expect all season long, as he was held off the stat sheet as a rusher almost entirely. But let's get to Jay Gruden.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Jay, broad brush here. What'd you think of yesterday, 1-point loss to the Steelers at home?
Well, you know, obviously it came down to the wire. There's some good things. I was impressed with the physicality of the defense holding, the running game for Pittsburgh to like 3 yards a carry. Najee Harris had 21 for like 45 or 50 yards. I thought that was pretty impressive. Big plays obviously hurt in the end. You know, the one to Pickens, obviously to Mike Williams. But overall, I think it was a good slugfest, and it just came right down to an inch, just an inch, and the game would have been different. But it was, I thought it was a good, hard-fought game.
To me, the mistakes are the thing that I'm going to remember. I mean, they overcame so much. Injuries to the offensive line, Jay, and having to substitute kickers again. A lot of things could have gone south that didn't. That's what makes it all the much more difficult to take for me, that it was drop passes. It was that, you know, the jumping off sides when we're not sure if Pittsburgh was going to run a play or not. That's what kind of makes it sting more. How do you view it as a coach?
Yeah, those are the ones that stand out. You drop a punt, jump off sides on fourth and one. Those are things, you know, obviously you can't do in competitive situations, especially, you know, coming down a stretch when you got Philadelphia twice and Dallas twice and all the rest of the teams. You got to hone that up a little bit. And that just comes with experience. You know, Newman's played pretty well as just a young player. You know, I would like to have Wagner screaming at him, don't jump, don't jump. But he jumped. But overall, I think you have to be impressed with the way they played. You mentioned the two tackles. I mean, that's a big deal against Pittsburgh now. Having a rookie tackle, I mean, and then Trent Scott playing the other tackle, that's a big deal. But I think they battled, they competed, and took them down to the wire. I know there's no moral victories, but if there is one, that would be one.
To that point, just three sacks and 11 dropbacks under pressure for Jaden Daniels. When you're going up against Watt, Highsmith, Hayward, that front, they were without Tyler Biadasz, their center, for a drive. They were without their two top right tackles going head-to-head with Watt, with a third string tackle in Trent Scott. I mean, obviously, a lot of that is scheme and how they helped out. I guess two-parter here. Number one, what did they do to keep Watt from wrecking the game that worked? And then number two, what did you think of the execution of their plan?
Yeah, I think they did a good job of mixing in their protections and not you know, having Jaden go back there and wait, you know, 4 or 5 seconds for guys to get open, although they tried a couple, didn't work out too well. But I think their plan was pretty good intact. You know, I think they missed Brian Robinson a lot, the toughness between the tackles. And obviously, the tackles provide a lot of that power and push in the running game as well. Obviously, the drop passes, I just wish they had another guy that could separate just a little bit better other than Terry. You know, Terry had a couple of big hits, but other than that, I just feel like Pittsburgh's defense was gloved on the receivers pretty good, which really made it hard for Jaden to get the ball, you know, to find some open spots for him to deliver the ball. And I think he had to force a couple and miss a couple throws. But, yeah, I think moving forward, if the team's going to play really tight man-to-man, I think we need another guy. Maybe we're not going to get another guy, but somebody else has to figure out ways to separate a little bit better.
I want to ask you about that. Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. That was my feeling a couple times. It hasn't reared its head most weeks, Jay, as they're beating the brakes off of Carolina and they're better than the Giants or Cleveland or Arizona when they played them, et cetera. But against good teams, the kind of games that they're going to be in a position to be in now, right? Whether it's for the division or a playoff game or things like that, against some of the good teams, there have been a couple times where I feel like, man, they could use one more playmaker opposite Terry McLaurin. Is that solution internal, do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I thought the same thing before the season, but guys kept stepping up, whether it was Noah or Deami or whoever it is, McCaffrey or, you know, Eckler out of the backfield. You know, they did a great job of really being multidimensional as far as their running game and the zone reads and the quarterback design runs, and they were able to pick apart some zones and find some holes. But when it comes to crunch time and it's man-to-man and it's a five-man rush and somebody's got to separate, that's where I think they had trouble against Pittsburgh, at least, for whatever reason. But moving forward, I think they're going to have to answer that because people watch the film, and Darius Slay is watching the film, and Quinyon Johnson, the corner from Philadelphia, they're watching the tape, and they're going to see some loaded boxes again to try to stop Jaden from running. And obviously, if B-Rob comes back and Eckler stops the running game and force him to throw it and see if they can get open.
Drops have not really been an issue for this team. They had 6 or 7 balls yesterday that, if the receiver makes a play, helps out the quarterback, balls in or around their hands, you know, they can go make a catch. Statistically, PFF assigned 3 drops. I think it depends on the site, but you know, it felt like a few more than that. I guess my question is, you've had games, everyone has those as a coach, where there's several drops. Is there something that leads to that? Is there anything you do or say about it, or is it just on to the next, hasn't been a problem, won't be a problem kind of deal?
Yeah, it's just out of the decks is all you can do. I mean, it can go out there and work on the jugs machine every day. I'm sure these guys practice their ass off and not dropping the football, just critical situations and big games. You know, hopefully it doesn't happen again. It's a learning experience for everybody. You know, they have a young football team, a young quarterback, some other young players on defense. So, you know, this is a great experience for them in order to recover and learn from their mistakes and move forward. And hopefully the next moment won't be too big for them. They'll be able to perform at a higher level and protect the football, because they've done such a good job of it over the first, you know, 9 games, as far as only 3 turnovers, very limited drops, very limited mental mistakes. They played extremely well. They just had a couple that reared its ugly head. Usually they do when you lose. You know, if Ertz gets that first down and they kick a field goal, we're probably talking about other things.
What did you think of Jaden Daniels yesterday?
You know, I still think he's a little bit limited as far as I think Cliff's doing a good job of protecting him, making sure that they got it for the season. And I think he's still a little inhibited by the rib injury a little bit. You know, I see him on the sidelines. I see him wincing a little bit. I think that affects the play calling. They're not calling as many of the cool zone reads and the counters with the quarterback able to pull it and people coming around and some of that things. They call it a quarterback draw on one play, and I think they had one other zone read where he just kind of went to the ground. So I think his use of his legs is limited right now, which affects their running game in general. But overall, I think Jaden still played pretty good. I thought he had great poise. He got hit hard a couple times and stood in the pocket and still saw the field and made some big-time throws. So I think, you know, for him, it was an average football game, but average for a lot of people, it's still pretty good.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. So Zach Ertz has had an unbelievable career, a lot of it against Washington, frankly. He's still a useful player, still helps them. But the drops are now starting to kind of compile. You can sort of see there's not much after the catch. He's among the you know, the fewest in the league in terms of yards after the catch at this point. You don't expect the tight end to be leading the league, but even still with that as the threshold, it's still pretty low. How would you kind of approach using him? Again, still deserves some looks, but Ben Stinnett's wait there in the wings, and you saw him in the preseason. I don't know how equal that is, but I'd be intrigued to give that guy a few more looks and some targets and have his responsibility grow.
Yeah, I don't know how much Ben knows the offense. I mean, the thing about Zach is his experience, his ability to line up and understand zone coverages, man coverages, and find open spots. And obviously in a running game, he's still pretty effective. Obviously, Ben's growing to be that type of guy. I don't know if he's there mentally yet. Physically, he's obviously there, but that's something that the coach would probably understand. But I still like Zach's veteran presence out there for a young football team to have a guy like him out there kind of calming everybody down and doing the right thing, being in the right place at the right time, I think is important for Jaden to know that he's always got him where he's supposed to be. And I'm sure Ben will grow to be that guy, but I think right now Zach is still an effective tight end.
The Steelers held Jaden Daniels to 3 rushing attempts for 5 yards. He had carries of 4, 1, and 0. And he didn't have any scrambles and no scramble yards. He's leading the league in both of those two categories this year. Some of that was they spied him on some downs with Patrick Queen, who I thought was a monster. I thought he did some really good things. And not everyone has that guy. But is there anything to a quote-unquote blueprint or this idea that, you know, they pretty much kept him in the pocket and made life harder on this offense?
Yeah, I think there is a little bit, but I think teams have tried to do that. Pittsburgh did not just reinvent how to play Jaden Daniels. There's been a lot of teams that have tried to spy him and not been as effective. You know, the thing is, when you spy a quarterback and you're still rushing 4, you lose that whole defender, which helps the underneath coverage. You know, you don't have that free player there lurking to cover, take away slants and shallow crosses and things of that nature. So it's a dangerous thing to play in coverage. It helps spying quarterback, but there are other issues involved in it. And I think that moving forward, if teams try to do that, I think the passing game will open up even more. And then if they don't do that, then obviously Jaden's ability to scramble will open up. But Pittsburgh played some fire zone, some 3D fire zone, some man-to-man, some tight man-to-man with a spy. So they did a good job mixing up. The key is when you do play man-to-man with a spy, somebody's got to get the hell open and quickly. And that's what Pittsburgh was banking on. They're playing tight coverages, forcing receivers to run longer routes to get open. And by the time they would get open, Jaden had to scramble a run because of, you know, TJ and the rest of the guys, Hayward and those other guys.
Jay, quick turnaround here for Thursday. There are two really good opponents back-to-back for Washington, combined 14-4 record now. You know, how do you turn the page, number one, and kind of what did you do as a coach to sort of deal with that short week, especially after a hard-hitting game like that where it was pretty damn physical, and now they got to go up against another really good team on the road?
Yeah, really physical. Guys are starting to feel it. You know, they need a bye week. They need this Thursday game, and after the Thursday game, they'll get some rest, and it's going to be very important for them to get back healthy. This is a tough stretch for these guys not to have a bye week or any rest, and now have a short week on top to play the division leader in Philadelphia. It's going to be tough, but you got to force them. Hey, man, we got to have some time off. We need your total effort and focus. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll play Thursday. I promise you I'll give you all Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but until that time, let's get after it. Let's get the division lead back in our favor because it's all at stake on Thursday night. It's going to be a hell of a game.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Olamide Zaccheaus put the ball on the ground twice as a punt returner, and Dan Quinn stuck with him. What was your thought on continuing to have him field punts the rest of the game? Would you have made a change there?
To who? I don't know who. That's the whole thing. Not many people can return punts. It's not as easy as you make it look. You know, if Jameson Crowder was on the roster, I'd say, hell yeah, put Jameson back there. But if he's not, I don't know if Luke McCaffrey can do it, or I know Terry McLaurin, I wouldn't put him back there, you know, so I don't know who else would go back there. That's the issue. So,
well, not many what about teams just multiple... putting like Luke back there and saying you can fair catch it?
Fair catch it? I wouldn't give up on him quite yet. He had the ball hit him in the face mask, and yeah, I mean, they're around more than I am, but they can't happen anymore. If it happens again, they got to make a change. You know, very similar I think Winter Rivera stuck with a long snapper for like a year and a half.
The cheese man.
Dribbled him back.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you're only allowed so many mistakes at that critical position. That is a critical position moving forward because special teams, as you watched Sunday, plays a critical role in these close games, a block field goal, a drop punt, a muff punt, whatever it might be. So he's got to make sure he concentrates and takes care of the ball. He's got one more strike, and he's going to be out.
I don't remember. I'd imagine, though, you had to have gone up against Dante Fowler some as a coach in this league. And I don't know if he would have been in Jacksonville when you were there or, you know, when you were working for the Rams a little bit, if he was there, if you guys crossed paths at all. But what a year this guy's having. He's got 8.5 sacks. He's got 4 in the last 2 games. He's got a sack in 5 of the last 6, I believe. And he's on pace for 14, which would be the most by anybody in a Washington defense since 1986, before I was born. And he's doing this as kind of a guy that they didn't pay much money to.
Yeah, Dante's always been talented. He went to Florida. He was a top draft pick. I remember doing him, grading him. He was a hell of a player. He just had some issues, some issues that undisciplinary type issues that he was not to be counted on, jump off sides in critical situations, you know, hit the quarterback in the head unnecessarily from time to time. But he's reeled all that in, and Dan Quinn's done a great job with him, the defensive line coach, and he's always been talented, man. He's got good burst. He's got good power. Yeah, you know, it's just sometimes these guys just need to be cut a couple times or rejected a couple times to say, hey, the light will click on and they'll play well. He's doing that right now.
Jay, one more for Washington before we open up the rest of the league. Offensively, in a game like that, who's somebody you try to target more, right? Because it's Terry. We know that. That's the one seed in the passing game. Then everybody gets a little sprinkle. I guess the 7 and 8 targets for Brown and Ertz, respectively. But is there someone you said, you know what, maybe this guy could maybe try to give me a burst or make a play for me here to help kind of unlock some things?
Yeah, I would have tried to do a little bit more with Austin. Eckler, I think out of the backfield, his matchup, whoever it's against, I still think he can beat any linebacker Pittsburgh has. I know Queen has some speed, but he'd be matched up on some other people. I like easy routes for running backs to get out in space and break some tackles. You know, I don't have to wait for guys to run 25-yard dig routes to try to get open. You know, I would try to get the shorter type passes. Zach doesn't have that short area quickness separation anymore, but he's a guy you can target in zone coverage. But man coverage, I'd work Eckler a little bit more. And, you know, I don't know, Luke McCaffrey, I don't know if he's fast enough to do any of this stuff, but Noah Brown's at least got some size. I'd probably work Noah Brown second and then Eckler third.
How about let's go around the NFL, the matchup of the number 1 and the number 3 pick at quarterback, Drake May and New England getting the better of Caleb Williams and the Bears. Yesterday, Chicago's a disaster. I'd have fired Eberflus. I wouldn't have kept Eberflus this offseason, but they did. And so he still has a job. They're probably going to move on. I think you coached with Shane Waldron. He was on your staff here, right?
Yeah, he was. He's a branch. They're struggling, man. They're bad.
They are bad.
I watched their tape today. He got sacked 9 times, and I think 7 of them, I don't think any receiver is ready for the ball yet. The poor kid is just getting oblivious. They're calling plays. Guys are running down the field with their backs to him, trying to get open on deep crossers, and he's just getting bludgeoned. And I feel bad for the kid. You know, it's not very fair to him. And Keenan Allen looks like he's lost a step to me. DJ Moore doesn't look like he has any interest. Roman Dunze is trying to find his way. Everybody says they're so talented at wide receiver, but they're not playing like it. They're not getting any immediate separation. Shane's not doing a very good job with his formations and getting people open either, and it's tough on Caleb.
What about May yesterday?
May's just a tough, gritty guy. Man, this is the way he's going to play his whole career. He's, you know, until he really light clicks on, he understands defense, how to read them, how to anticipate throws. But as far as his ability to keep plays alive and just be a tough son of a gun in the pocket, I mean, he's a fun guy to watch. He's not going to win any beauty pageants, but he's going to, you know, get your guys 18, 20 points. You better play good defense. You're going to have a couple key rushing first downs, maybe a rushing touchdown, run a guy over. He's a tough son of a gun. I like him.
Jay, I can't remember a time where I saw somebody with a stat line of 15 out of 30 with 5 interceptions and a win. What happened last night with Detroit and Houston, I still kind of can't quite figure out what I saw.
Yeah, that was crazy. He had a couple unfortunate picks, though. One was tipped and intercepted. One was a Hail Mary at the end of the half. That doesn't count. So he really only had 3.
Still not great?
That's a lot. Still not very good, but that's what you got to love about the Detroit Lions. They're resilient. They just keep on coming, and Jared Goff has been there and done that, and he does not let one play affect the next play. That's what you have to be as a quarterback. You can't let one interception affect your next throw. You can't let you get hit in the head, getting hurt, getting hit blindsided, thinking you're going to hit blindsided the next play. You got to let it all go and just live to fight another day, and he's as good as any quarterback in the league right now. And I know he threw five picks, but to bounce back and just be relentless and continue to fire, I mean, that's not easy to do. And he can do it. And the Lions are tough. I love the Lions.
Jay, the Cowboys are horrific. Washington still gets to play them twice. It reminds me, they're playing them in the final week of the year, like that week 18 when you guys went down there and took Kirk out after one quarter going into the playoffs, and Colt McCoy lit up. I think Kellen Moore led Dallas. They're going to play two backup quarterbacks, which is going to be nice with the Cowboys in those two games. Should be two wins. They got the Titans, the Saints. I mean, basically, it's two games against the Eagles and the Falcons, and then a bunch of very winnable games for Washington left. But how about how bad things have gotten in Dallas?
You use horrific and a disaster for a couple teams. Awesome. But, yeah, they're bad. They really don't do anything good on offense. They can't throw. They can't run. They have no running game. Zeke Elliott comes in. He looks like he's 240 pounds. He looks like he's a 40-year-old man running the ball. It's bad. And then defensively, they got some young, talented players on defense. You know, they really do. This Overshawn guy is a hell of a player. And they got Micah Parsons. He's coming back. So they got some guys that can be a little bit effective on defense. They get worn down because they're not very big. You know, they can play tough early. Then third, fourth quarter comes on, they just get bludgeoned, and they're just exhausted because the offense is pitiful.
Jay, I know it's early in the week to think about next week, but they play on Thursday. Give us your thoughts and a prediction on Washington-Philadelphia Thursday night.
Oh, I got to check the injury report, man. I got to have our tackles back. What's it looking like?
So I asked Quinn after the game yesterday if Wiley not playing was in any way about kind of the division game coming up Thursday and a first-place game, and he said no. If he could have gone, he would have gone. Sounds like Robinson has turned the corner, they said. So they're hoping that they'll have him, but I don't know that the tackle situation is changing much. We don't know yet.
Well, a good thing is Philadelphia doesn't have great edge rushers anyway. You know, Sweat's okay, and they got the Bryce Huff guy. He's not having the year they thought he would have, so I think we can hold up. Just got to get the running game going a little bit, and hopefully Jaden feels better so he get a little bit more active running the football. Not crazy, not like 20 times a game, but like 8 effective good runs a game, I think would be great for Jade. If he could do that, I think Washington can do it. But if he's still limited and he can't really use his legs, and we got a couple young tackles in there, then it's going to be a tough day.
Jay, always great having you on the show, buddy. Thanks so much for the time and the insight.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
There's our guy, Jay Gruden, former head coach here in D.C.
On Air and On the Road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Chantilly Lincoln, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Tedbert for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
How did we think Jaden Daniels played yesterday? Do we agree with Jay Gruden that the ribs are bothering Daniels a bit? That's next on G&D.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.